and darshan, you may say, his the realization of Sri Aurobindo's teaching. But integral knowledge is what he's trying to develop in this particular chapter. What is the essence of integral knowledge? And as the chapter proceeds, we'll see how he looks at integral knowledge as the key to reality. As he says, that what is reality? Because reality comes to us as our phenomenal experience of the world. But that reality is not necessarily all there is to reality. And when one realizes that there is something else to reality, it's very easy to suppose that phenomenal experience is actually not reality. It's unreal. So it's that dichotomy which Sri Aurobindo is bridging here in this chapter by talking about reality and the integral knowledge. He starts with these two little quotations from the Mundaka Upanishad and the Gita. First one goes, this self is to be won by the truth and by an integral knowledge. So it has to do with, for one, to do with winning something, to be victorious over something, to get something through striving, struggling. And what is this something? This something is this self. So we again come to the notion of the essence of self, selfhood. What is this self? And that again, one may say, is the notion of self-knowledge. You know, we can think about the beginning of philosophy and the beginning of yoga practice as starting, in certain cases, one of the key issues with the notion of what, who am I? Okay, the idea of the self. You know, what is this self? And as we'll proceed in this chapter, we'll see that from an even more profound point of view, what Sri Aurobindo is pointing out is that what this world is a similar question, or what the becoming is a similar question posed by the infinite reality to itself. Just as we may ask the question, who am I? The absolute conscious being may ask the question to itself, who am I? And just asking that question brings into manifestation this entire reality that we experience as phenomenal reality. So that is the essence of knowledge, knowledge of the self. Knowledge of the self, as we understand it, is a kind of a shadow of the knowledge of the self that is the creation. The creation itself is the asking of the question, who am I, by a conscious being, which projects or objectifies itself to itself as a object of knowledge. So this knowledge that is to be had or won, as he says in that quotation, is a self-knowledge, a knowledge of the self, and the means of winning it is the truth and the integral knowledge. So that's he makes it very clear from the very outset, Mundaka Upanishad, that to possess the self, one needs to have a knowledge which is integral. It's the first hint of what is the integral knowledge. And then the second quote, hear how thou shalt know me in my totality. For even of the seekers who have achieved, hardly one knows me in all the truth of my being. This is from the Gita. And you know, there's a number of quotations from the Gita that Sri Aurobindo marshals in this Life Divine, in this book. And this is one of them. And many of these quotations have a similar tone. And the tone is essentially that which, you know, is in the, as in this particular quotation, one which talks about knowledge as something which leads to an integrality. Know me in my totality. And this totality knowledge, the knowledge of the totality, is something which eludes us, eludes even the wise, eludes even the great yogins, as he says. Hardly one knows me in all the truth of my being. In another quote from the Gita, which one may bring to mind over here, is the one where Krishna is talking about the different kinds of seekers. And that's a very key verse from the Gita, which has been interpreted in many ways. And he names these different kinds of seekers as artha, jigyasu, artharthi, and jnani. These are the four. And artha is one who is sad, or one who, you know, approaches the divine due to suffering, due to sadness. The artharthi is one who approaches the divine due to seeking for a variety of material goals. The jigyasu is one who is curious about the divine, or who has a mental seeking. And the jnani, this term, when the Gita uses it, it's difficult to make out what exactly is meant, and particularly in comparison with jigyasu, which also seems to be a kind of a seeker after knowledge. But it's exactly there where Sri Aurobindo clarifies that the distinction between jigyasu and jnani in the Gita is one of a distinction between the seeking for knowledge initiated by the mind and the seeking for integral knowledge. And that's the integral knowledge again that's coming in to seek to, and Krishna says, of all these, the one that is most beloved to me is the jnani. And the jnani is one who seeks to know the divine in the integral principles of his being, to know the divine, as Sri Aurobindo will say it elsewhere, as the divine knows himself. Not to know the divine as man can know the divine, but to know the divine as the divine knows himself is to acquire integral knowledge. And this integral knowledge is the property of the supermind. So we come in a sense to what Sri Aurobindo is getting at when he's talking about reality and the integral knowledge, in that understanding that the integral knowledge is the divine's knowledge of itself, and it's a knowledge possessed by an organ which escapes us at present. It is the supramental knowledge. It is the knowledge of the being and the becoming simultaneously. So I think with that is a kind of a synoptic view of these first two paragraphs. He's talking here about, at first, the boundaries of the ignorance, the origin, nature, and boundaries of the ignorance. The ignorance is our experience of reality, which is a separative experience of reality. And this separative experience of reality comes because this phenomenal existence is one of multiplicity, that there are the many, not the one over here. And these many are each of them a center unto itself. And so this kind of fragmentation of reality, fragmentation of experience, of knowledge, is the characteristic of the ignorance. Its boundaries are its separation from unity, separation from a unitive reality or knowledge. And so he says that this in itself, a sense of fragmentation, a sense of separativeness, is marked by a certain kind of lack, a lack of integrality that characterizes the ignorance, and separate from it is the sense of unity which characterizes the knowledge. Now, the integral knowledge, as he calls it, he says, is intrinsic to integral reality. An integral reality would actually encompass both the ignorance and the knowledge. Okay, so that in a sense is what has to be recovered, as he says. There is an integral self-knowledge that we have to recover. And because the world self also is ourself, an integral world knowledge. So this double knowledge, the knowledge of the self and the knowledge of the world as one knowledge, is part of the integrality of the integral knowledge. And then the second paragraph there is talking about the intrinsic nature of this integral knowledge to an integral spiritual consciousness. Here again, we can bring to mind the notion of asking that question, who am I? And if it's the conscious being that's asking that question, then that question is an act of consciousness, consciousness becoming active in being. And this becoming active is something that objectifies itself. And as it objectifies itself, it becomes knowledge. So we can actually look at these three terms, being, consciousness, and knowledge, as progressive extensions or extrusions of conscious being. To look at it like this, of course, is only one way of looking at reality. One can look at reality as being, one can look at reality as consciousness, one can look at reality as delight. But here he is particularly looking at it from the viewpoint of knowledge. And so knowledge is latent in conscious being. Knowledge is a property of consciousness within conscious being. And it can remain latent. And so long as it remains latent, it is something that is never asked. The question is never asked. It never becomes active. As soon as the question is asked, it starts becoming consciousness, starts becoming active and reflexive. It starts turning on itself. And in that arises the enumeration or the elaboration of self to self. And that is knowledge. That is integral knowledge, because it is the mobilizing of the knowledge of identity of the one to itself. Now, in that mobilizing is born the universe with its many, with its multitudes, with its many. But in this coming of the many, there is intrinsic the self-knowledge in all the of those many, and in each of those many. So one may say that in a sense, coming to its own self-knowledge is a process by which that which is ineffable, that which is beyond or transcendental or beyond any kind of limitation or definition, calls itself and becomes, manifest. And in this becoming manifest, it first manifests its own self as a matrix of possibilities. You know, even to become manifest as a being is the beginning of a self-knowledge. What am I? That which is beyond being and non-being, to ask the question, what am I, is generating being. And in this being, generation of existence, there is the sense of the cosmos, the sense of the universe. That is a kind of, one may say, universal being, the all, the matrix of all manifestation. And out of this, there emerges the multitude. And this multitude is the fragmentation which gives us the separative existences of these many realities, these individualities. But each of these individualities, again, is nothing else but the same conscious being that is knowing itself as itself, knowing itself as the all, and knowing itself in the each. And so that's why he says in that paragraph that interpretive, revelatory, moving between these two extremes. Its vision discovers the manifestation of the one in the many, the identity of the infinite in the disparity of things finite, the presence of the timeless eternal in eternal time. It is this seeing that illumines for it the meaning of the universe. So this is, one may say, the supramental seeing that is at once dense in the sense that it sees everything all at once, and also mobile because it travels from the heights to the depths and back again to the heights. In that very very interesting line that he has, the interpretive revelatory moving between these two extremes, its vision discovers the manifestation of the one in the many, the identity of the infinite in the disparity of things finite, the presence of the timeless eternal in eternal time. It is this seeing that illumines for it the meaning of the universe. So this central interpretive vision, this hermeneutic vision, could be related in alchemical terms to Mercurius, Mercury, the element that rises and falls, that bridges the heights and the depths, that actually is the substance of the infinite, but that moves within it to find it in all various stations of its existence. So I think, in a sense, that is a kind of a synopsis of those first two paragraphs. Maybe we can, somebody can reread those paragraphs, and then anybody can, people, there can be more comments or questions about it. Sita? Yes. Okay, revelatory is that which, just give me one moment. Baba, yes. Revelatory over here is, you know, the ability of this truth to open up the one in the many. It reveals the one, as it were. So, you know, interpretive, revelatory, moving between these two extremes. So in this sense that, you know, the truth is something which is, you know, bridging these various realities. As we said, there is the one, there is the all, and there is the each, or the many. And so to bridge these realities means to interpret one to the other. You know, our reality is one in which separativeness becomes a reality by itself. So since it becomes a reality by itself, we lose contact with the all and the one. We are the individualities that have sort of been broken off, broken loose from the unity of being. And so this truth is that which reveals the one in the many to the many. It reveals the one in the all to the all and to the many. So it is revelatory in the sense that it bridges the understanding of each of these realities to the other realities. Yeah, he's talking about the vision, mind you, that line, that whole line is about interpretive revelatory.
Hello? Hello?
Yes, I can't hear him either. Yep.
Yeah.
Connection lost, yes. Can you see him, Citra? Oh, there he is. Failed, unknown error.